being able to reach young guns. I just I hope you guys can become convicted today as much as I made for the work. But first of all, I just want to thank all the people, the young guns, that did all this dancing. You guys did an awesome job. This is that song, that was really encouraging, by the way, people were listening.
Amen, bro.
Let's praise God here. Please turn to Ezekiel, chapter 3, verse 1.
Come on, bro, preach it.
Ezekiel, chapter 3, verse 1.
Tell us about it.
The title of my lesson is, Let Nothing Move You. Come on.
Amen, bro.
Let nothing move you. Alright? My first point is, let nothing move you from the Word of God.
Come on.
Okay? So let's start reading here in verse 1. In Ezekiel chapter 3. He says, And he said to me, Son of man, eat what is before you, eat the scroll. Then go and speak to the house of Israel. So I opened up my mouth, and he gave me this scroll to eat. Then he said to me, Son of man, eat the scroll I am giving you, and fill your stomach with it. So I ate it, and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. He then said to me, Son of man, go now to the house of Israel, and speak my words to them. You are not being sent to a people of obscure speech and difficult language, but to the house of Israel. Not too many peoples of obscure speech and difficult language, whose words you cannot understand. Surely, if I had sent you to them, they would have listened to you. But the house of Israel is not willing to listen to you, because they are not willing to listen to me. For the whole house of Israel is hardened and obstinate. But I will make you as unyielding and hardened as they are. I will make your forehead like the hardest stone, hard as flint. Do not be afraid of them or terrified by them, though they are a rebellious house. So, right here I want to give you guys the background of Ezekiel. Ezekiel is preaching right here, over in Babylon. He was one of the first waves of people that God moved to Babylon. Okay, they are in exile right now. And at the same time, over in Judah, we got Jeremiah preaching at the same time to people in Judah. So they basically, their voices parallel each other to speak to these people that are not being repentant, right? So Ezekiel is speaking right here to the people over in Babylon. And he notices, you know, God's telling them, you got to speak the truth to these people, although they're very unyielding and hardened by sinfulness. And I was thinking about this. Have you ever met somebody that's been yielding before?
Yeah.
Can be very irritating, be very annoying sometimes.
Bro.
But sometimes it can actually help you be better.
Come on.
Be better in life, right? When I think I'm yielding, I think about my mom.
Come on.
You know, and I could.
Come on.
When I think about my mom, I remember when I first started my first year in college, I was a pretty young gun. I would come back home and she would have this awesome Peruvian food ready on the table. I always stay back for it, by the way. I miss it every time I go home. I wouldn't have to pay rent. You know, I would just come home and just be, everything be so free and just be awesome. You know? Like, I had time to do homework, you know?
Come on.
And the thing about it, though, is that I got to a point in my first year of college where I was doing biology. And I realized I wasn't so good at it. I couldn't memorize the words as fast as they asked me to. And so, you know, I was growing, I was feeling a little bit challenged by it.
Come on.
My mom came up to me and she's like, honey, you need a job. These are the peak of my most, you know, frustration in college. So no longer am I pursuing my mom asked me to get a job. And she just kept asking me over and over and over every single day. And I got to a point that I was so overwhelmed that I just started shedding tears. I was like, Mom, I can't do it. And I remember talking to her yesterday, and she was like, it just hit my heart. I was so hit by it. I'm sorry. I mean, I love to give money, but I want you to grow up. But that is the type of people that you need to be stronger in your life. You need that unyielding faith that people are going to do something in your life. Amen. Are you unyielding and hearted in your convictions, guys?
Come on.
Are you unyielding and hardened in your convictions?
Come on.
What circumstances make you want to soften the Word of God?
Come on.
You can see over here in the text, guys, Ezekiel from the very beginning knew that they wouldn't listen to him. They wouldn't pay attention to anything that he would say to them. But he's like, here am I, said me, I'm going to go. Because God had a charge for them. And these people were so obstinate, they were refusing not only to listen to Ezekiel, but to not even listen to God. What if you knew that there was no people to reach out to in Walmart, but God asked you to go anyway? Does that move you? What if you knew the dishes would refill in the sink after you were done with them, but God asked you to do them anyway?
Come on, bro.
What if you knew your acts of love would not be appreciated today, and God asked you to go and do them? Does that move you?
Come on, bro.
I got a question for you guys, and a statement, I really. It's God only relies on people who have a forehead of stone. How's your forehead doing?
Come on.
How's your forehead? Feel it.
Come on.
That's that.
Pretty hard.
Good.
Should be of stone.
Come on.
Why is that? Right before I ask, so why do you have a forehead of stone? Because to win people over, you must be more unyielding and hearted than the people that you are reaching out to.
Come on.
We're in a war here, guys, between Satan and God.
Come on, bro.
Satan's gonna win if you don't have strong convictions, if you're not deep and rooted in the Word of God, okay?
Come on, staff. Amen.
Where does the confidence come from? Does it come from your own skill? The way you do things, how I'm just so smooth at this. I got such an ease at talking to you. Or is it because of God's Word and the Bible?
Come on, bro.
I gotta ask you guys a question. Do you guys have an awesome quiet time this morning? Raise your hand if you guys did. Yeah. You guys did, that's awesome. Keep it up. You guys did it. You guys are going to keep building in God.
Amen.
That means there's room to get deeper in the root. My second point, let nothing move you from God's will.
Come on, Seth.
Come on, bro.
Let's keep reading here in verse 10. Second point, let nothing move you from God's will. Verse 10, he says, and he said to me, son of man, listen carefully and take to heart all the words I speak to you. Go now to your countrymen in exile and speak to them. Say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, whether they listen or fail to listen. Then the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard behind me a loud rumbling sound. May the glory of the Lord be praising his dwelling place. The sound of the wings of the living creatures brushing against each other, and the sound of the wheels beside me, a loud rumbling sound. The Spirit then lifted me up, and took me away, and I went in bitterness and in anger of my spirit, with the strong hand of the Lord upon me. I came to the exiles who lived at Tel Aviv, near Kabar River. And there, where they were living, I sat among them for 7 days, overwhelmed. You guys have been overwhelmed with a task before?
Yep.
Right? A couple of you guys know what that is. When you have a tough number to do, a tough test coming up, it's really tough. But over here, in Ezekiel's case, he knew what he had to approach. He not only had to talk the truth to these guys, but even more so, he felt a little bit overwhelmed. Since he felt bitter, and just felt angry by the task. Okay? How do you react to challenges from God that you don't agree with? What is your heart behind? Do you get bitter when God asks you to do something you are not willing to do? Do you let persecution intimidate you from preaching the word?
Question, bro.
That is something that I deeply believe on. We have to have a deep conviction about it. Because if you're going to reach the whole world, we got to have a deep conviction of preaching the truth, right? I was thinking about it, like, if you're going to be, you're going to go over the world, you're going to have to realize that eventually, all the countries that are more open to hearing the word of God are going to run out. And we're going to have to run into countries that are a little bit more tough in the law.
Come on.
We're going to start to really get to our kids. You're going to test our convictions. You're going to test to see how far you will push before you let go. I deeply believe if we're going to be able to preach the Word of God over the whole world, there's going to be martyrs. You know? Are you going to back up, or are you going to stand true? Are you going to have a forehead of stone?
Come on.
I was thinking about this past week. I know. You know, we had me and Eric, we went over to college. We had an awesome time there. He calls himself an armor man. I call him an armor man, because I think he's not sure. But it's really cool being with him lately, because he's really stuck for me, you know, in times that are hard.
Come on.
You know, like, I was in college and I was like, bro, I gotta go back home. Or, I don't have my lock. I gotta put my lock key. You know, you get my bike home back to work. I mean, you get my bike back to home. And he's like, sure, I'll do it. I was like, wow, man, you sold that. Like, I wasn't even expecting, like, I was expecting to hesitate and be like, really? Only from college to house? Well, not that he was willing to do it. But that is the type of people that we need. That is the type of zeal that we need to get to the whole world, amen?
Come on.
Amen.
God's will for us is to remain in the light.
Come on.
Do you let your sin move you, or do you let, or do you repent right away?
Come on.
Do you let your sin move you, or do you repent right away? How sensitive are you about your sin? You just let it linger.
Come on.
Are you zealous enough? I appreciate Renee, Sister Renee, for her being zealous in the purity. I think she's got an awesome heart, you know, for just keeping her heart pure, for guarding her heart. I mean, I think about her side hugs, you know, and it's funny because you do the side hugs with her and you feel like doing butt hugs. It's awesome because she's willing to go that extra mile just to make sure everybody is fully committed, everybody's pure. Amen. We need more sisters like her, guys.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, you know, I talked to a brother this week. And the brother's like, yeah, like, I asked him, so how'd you buy something, bro? He said, well, like, tell you the truth, bro, I don't really have stuff to repent about or confess about, so I don't really feel the need for it. And I was like, okay, bro, let's start the First John 1. And that talks about, of course, you gotta confess your sins. Be forgiven by God. But what my point with this is, guys, God only relies on people that have a forehead of stone.
Right?
Wow.
How much are you willing to go for God's will?
Come on.
Is there anything that is stopping you from doing it, like sin? Mm-hmm. Or in other cases, like challenges, persecution? Point number three is, let nothing move you from speaking the truth in love.
Come on. Right.
Let's keep reading verse 16. Let nothing move you from speaking the truth in love.
Come on, Steph, though.
Verse 16, it says, at the end of 7 days, the word of God, the word of the Lord came to me. That's where I dreaded that by then. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak, and give them warning from me. When I say to a wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to dissuade him from his evil ways in order to save his life, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the wicked man, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his evil ways, he will die for his sin, but you have saved yourself. This is a really challenging scripture, guys. But the call is pretty simple. First, you gotta find those who are not sold out. And two, you gotta deal with them right away. Why? Well, if you let that committed go, they're only gonna compromise the church. If you let that committed go, they will compromise the church. You know? If you let one person go with sin, that's just going to spread more.
Yeah. What's up?
But, you know, I want to ask you guys why. What do you guys think Ezekiel was overwhelmed with? Yeah. Well, there's only one answer. Because he had a great responsibility in his hands. Mm-hmm. He had to take care of all these people in Israel. They'd be like, all right, I got to talk to every single one, although these guys are not willing to hear. You got to open up their hands from the ear and be like, listen to this. Listen again, right? And it's a great responsibility if you think about it, you know. But we must understand that on the scriptures, when I first read this, I thought it meant that we had to change them. But we don't have to change, we have to warn them in the hope that we will change them.
Come on. Yeah.
You can't just make somebody do something they don't want to do.
Yeah.
Because their heart's not going to be there. They're going to get bitter. I remember, a brother told me once that if you disciple people, you know, on the surface level, they get bitter. Some people on the heart level, they get better. How do you react to people when they don't hear you? When their ears become obstinate and harder? Does that move you? Do you just give up and say, God, I can't do it? Or do you get back to your prayer? What circumstances make you want to soften the word of God again? What difference would there be between us and any other church if we wouldn't call people to obey the Bible? What difference would there be? Did you ever think about that? There wouldn't be. Because some people don't call people to obey the Bible.
Come on.
They want the numbers. They want the crowd to be there. But guess what? Most of the crowd doesn't follow what the Bible says. This is too hard to obey. When I think about Jesus, he called people to the Bible. He never backed down from speaking the truth in love. He said to Peter, "Peter, do you love him?" And he came back to him, "Peter, do you truly love him?" And then one third time, "Peter, do you really love him?" He was saying, you know, he was confronting Peter and telling him, "Do you really have a sincere love for me?" It was just surface level. He even told him, you know, like when Peter realized and he confessed to Jesus what he was, what he thought he was, "You're the Son of Man." And he got the keys to become a very man. Right after that, Jesus explains to him what his plan is to go to the cross. And Peter's like, "No, don't do that." And Jesus is like, "Get behind me, Satan." Right? Why does he tell him that? Because really, he's got to confront them in his conviction.
Come on.
He's nearsighted. He can't see what God's plan is for his life.
Right.
So guys, my point again is God only relies on people who have a forehead of stone. How's your forehead doing this morning?
Come on,
bro. Your heart, bro.
With that, I want to pass it down to Robbie. See what gives a lesson.
Come on, Stephanie. Come on, Robbie.
Come on,
buddy.
Come on,
Robbie.
Come on, Robbie.
Come on, Robbie.
Come on,
Robbie.
I was trying to find a wig, you know, and some glasses. Like, Jake. I couldn't find any.
Come on, bro.
Thank you so much, Stefano, for your amazing lesson. You know, just like Stefano, it is a deep honor to be in front of you guys and to get the chance to preach to you guys. And, you know, Stefano and I are both, you know, so young, we're still in our prime, you know. still haven't ripened yet. It's still an honor to get up here and to be able to do this. You know, I still remember back in the day, way back then, you know, 2 years ago, 2008. We were facing this way, so the preacher would be looking this way. And, you know, I remember the day I actually got to come in front of the church for the first time. And welcome, it was to sing Wade in the Water. If some of you know Thomas Jackson, I've seen him do it 100 times. I'm going to do this song. So I got up there, I did the chorus, "Wade in the Water." And I looked out at the book, and I realized that there's more to the song than just. I don't know if you guys remember at all, but I was like,
"Yes, we do, bro."
And you guys are on point. God's good, trouble. You guys did it right. And then we got back to the chorus, and I ended it right there, and I sat down. It was a time when we only had one person up to sing. It wasn't five at the beginning. It was tough, but you know, that was our journey. You know, that was, you know, fast forwarding 2 years. You know, I'm so happy to say that in 3 days I get to turn 2 spiritually. But I think about how much life is a journey, and you know, continuing on what Steph was, you know, what he ended with, we're going to look at the journey of a man in the Bible who had a purpose and a destination far greater than any of ours today.
Amen.
We're going to look at the story of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Luke 22.
Come on, Robbie.
Luke 22. You know, when I think of a man and a purpose, you think Jesus and his purpose, his journey, and his destination. You think about the willpower that he had, you know, to overcome everything. And you know, we as disciples, you know, as Christians, what is our destination? We want to get to heaven, right?
Yep.
You know that this world is temporary and we want to get to heaven. But life is a journey.
Come on.
Now, you know, at this point, Luke 22, Jesus had already been betrayed, arrested, betrayed again by his friends. He'd been mocked and beaten, and now he's being questioned before the elders and the teachers of the law. So my first point is checkpoints. The checkpoints. Now, as some of you may know, I just got back from Colorado. Last weekend I had to go, you know, be there for my friends. My friend is the same age as me, but his mom died in a vehicle accident. And I told him, I was like, "Dude, I will be there. I will, you know, I'll come there for your time of need and your time of mourning." So I took the extra time to go over there and, you know, be with him. And fortunately, it was Labor Day weekend, so it worked out well. But upon going to my destination, I've got to get through checkpoints. There are different things you got to go through. We have Air Force, right? You got to go through airport security and everything. So my first checkpoint was the Hilo Airport. Go in, have my ticket, have my ID, bada bing, bada boom, I was check cleared. Everything went well. okay, well, I get on the airplane and I reach Honolulu. You know, I got 3 hours to kill. I'm like, Evan, let's go get some food. I want some Wendy's. We don't have Wendy's in Honolulu. Let's go. He goes, no, bro, no. I'm fasting today. I can't come get you. You should have told me earlier. So I was like, crap. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to walk some Wendy's. I don't know where I'm going. I'm just going to walk and find new Wendy's. About halfway there, I get a phone call. Hello, is this Robert?
Yes.
This is Hawaiian Airlines. We have your wallet in Hilo.
What?
You know, my first thought is not, crud, I can't get on the plane. It's crud, I can't eat. I buy any food. And then I was like, oh, I can't get on the airplanes to go to, you know, Colorado. So I hurried up, got back in, tried to get my boarding pass, but they told me it's going to take you at least 35 minutes to get through all the checkpoints and all the airports and all the security in order to reach Colorado. So I was devastated, but, you know, I had to deal with it. So I didn't have my wallet or anything. You know, I had to get questioned about, you know, who I was and all that stuff. And now we're going to look at Jesus as he got questioned. Luke 22.
Come on,
all right, again, verse 66. At daybreak, the council of the elders of the people, both the chief priests and teachers of the law, met together, and Jesus was led before them. If you are the Christ, they said, tell us. Jesus answered, if I tell you, you will not believe me, and if I ask you, you would not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God. They all asked, are you the Son of God? He replied, you are right in your saying I am. Then they said, why do we need any more testimony? We have heard it from his own lips. Then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, we have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Christ, a king. So Pilate asked Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? Yes, it is as you say, Jesus replied. All right, so we see Jesus here being questioned by an assembly of people, the teachers of the law. Now notice his answer in verse 67 when they asked him, are you the son? And he goes, no. If I tell you, you will not believe me. And if I ask you, you would not answer. But from now on, the Son of God, or the Son of Man, will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God. They asked, are you the Son of God? He replied, you are right in saying I am. Now this is an angry mob. They want to either heal him, deny everything he was preaching, or to die. And before this angry mob, he knew what he had to say. Yes, I am the Son of God. And even if I was, you wouldn't believe me if I told you. He had the correct answers. He had the things that he was going to say before this mob. You know, you got to look at your own life. You know, we all have checkpoints that we go through. Yeah. Now, are you prepared for the answers of the people that ask you? You know, are you prepared to give an answer for your faith? You know, why are you here? If someone asks you, why should I come to your church? Well, you tell them plainly, you know, this is why, you know, it's better than yours or something like that. I don't know. Well, you tell them. You know, you give them a solid reason, your convictions. You hold unswervingly, as Stephen preached earlier, your conviction. What is moving you?
Come on.
You know, if someone needed to study the Bible, you could take notes. Can you be there just in case they don't know Scripture? And can you help them out? Are you prepared for any of these checkpoints?
Come on, bro.
And even dealing with Satan. All of us are going to be tempted day after day.
Yep.
Are you prepared for the things that you struggle with out in the world? Are you prepared to deal with those? You know, guys, we can't be moved at any of these checkpoints. And, you know, when I was being questioned by the security in Honolulu, this lady, she dialed up a number, and they had all these things about me. And, you know, they even asked me, who's Darla Wright? My mom's name is Denise Wright. I said, who's Darla Wright? I was like, I don't know a Darla. I know a Denise. And, you know, I think they were prepared. They were trying to ask me to see if I was really who I said I was. You know, who is your brother on your mom's side? How do you know that? What are you talking about? What's your first car? You know? What's going on here? How do you guys know that? But the point is, if I would have answered those questions any differently, you better believe I would not get through. So you have
on,
to be prepared for the things that people ask you.
Come on,
now, Jesus made it past this checkpoint, as we know. And if you don't know, you need to study it out. And he's making it onto the next point, you know, which leads me to my next point. The satisfying journey.
Come on, Rob.
The satisfying journey. Now, it's the time of a journey where the true test begins. When you're actually set out for your destination. This is the time where the true test begins. You know, some will either quit, some will do it fast, some will give up, and some will even embark on other things. But if you see your destination in mind and you have your journey, this is the time where the most challenges happen. Let's pick it up in Luke 23. Luke 23 and verse 26. It says, as they led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, blessed are the barren women, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will say to the mountain, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. Now, there are three things that I want to point out upon, with Jesus' journey. First, it's the crowd, the crowd that's following him, that's watching him. The extra help from Simon. And his response. Now, we know that prior to his journey, Jesus was severely beaten. He was flogged. He was shown no compassion. So at this point, he is extremely fatigued. And the crowd at this point, this is not a pep squad. Come on, Jesus, you can do it. You got this. No, this is an angry mob, some angry, some wailing. But, people are throwing things, spitting. They don't care for Jesus anymore. And, he was so fatigued that he needed to have help carrying his cross. He didn't give up. He just needed help. And, what was his response to all of this? A woman mourning. He said to her, he flat out preached to her along the way. There's going to be a time when you're going to have children and you don't even curse the womb and all that stuff. He's preaching to these people along the way. What is your response in your time of hardships? Are you still holding true to what your destination is, no matter what comes your way?
Come on, bro.
Is there a certain type of sin that you're just afraid to get open about, that you're ashamed to get open about? You've gotten open about it a couple of times, but, the next time you struggle with it, do you get open with it? Is it your desires? Do you have things within that you really want to accomplish that you haven't told anybody that you secretly want to do for yourself? Things that appeal to you. Things that are going to take you away from your destination, your set purpose. For students, a big one is school. We get pulled to do our best in school. But are we diverting from our journeys, as young disciples? Are we diverting from that path and fulfilling only what school is teaching us? School's sole purpose is to teach us. That's what we pay for. But we know as a disciple, our sole purpose is to live like a disciple. Amen?
Amen.
Even for marriage, you guys have to provide for your family. But are you trying to work those extra hours in order to earn extra money? When you should be reaching out with your other fellow Marys, spending time with them, reaching out for your Bible talk.
Come on, bro.
Is making money more important than saving souls?
Come on, Robbie. Preach it.
Like I said, this is the time on your journey when you're going to be tested the most. These are all things that cause us to swerve on our walk with Christ. So how are we dealing with these issues? Keep your place right here. We're going to go to Hebrews.
Come on, Robbie. Doing great, bro.
Right there. Hebrews 10. Right there. In Hebrews 10, starting in verse 19, it says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We hold unswervingly through our faith by encouraging others, by spending time with people, by spurring on each other with the word, by being there for each other. The charge here is to do this all the more as you see the day approaching. And a good way of knowing if you've swerved off your path is if your day consists of yourself.
Come on.
If your day consists of you waking up, feeding your belly first, going out into the world first, taking care of yourself, you haven't made a phone call, you haven't talked to a brother or sister, a good way of knowing if you've swerved is if you're selfish. If you're focused on yourself.
Come on, Robbie.
Now, a selfish person wouldn't necessarily know they're selfish, but if someone sees you and they're like, bro, what you been up to? What you been doing? Then you know you're selfish because you haven't really gotten over it anyway.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on, bro.
You know, when you think about yourself, okay, what are you struggling with that's making you focus on yourself? Is it your purity? Are you consumed with, you know, your hate for, you know, for purity, and you've just gotten down, and, you know, you're secluding to yourself, and you're not getting open? You know, for some of the guys here, you know, is it video games? Are you spending all your day playing video games when you should be out reaching out?
Come on, Robbie.
You know, for the sisters, you know, are you guys, do you guys really have that loving knit that, you know, all guys need? You know, they see that, that, you know, that bond between sisters and that love, and it helps encourage brothers to be loving with other brothers.
Yeah.
But do you have that relationship with your sisters?
Come on.
You know, when I, on my way to Colorado, I landed in Phoenix, and I had a 7-hour delay. I get off the plane, it's 1 o'clock in the morning, I get a call from a brother in Phoenix. Bro, you can come crash in my house tonight, I'll pick you up at least 5 minutes away from the airport. I'm like, I think to myself, I could just call my friend and tell him, I can't make it, I don't have my wallet, I'm broke. And then I could have spent a whole weekend in Phoenix, chilling with the disciples there, having a good time in Chipotle, and just relaxing. You know, I had the opportunity to be comfortable. I had the opportunity to be around disciples again and spend, you know, with time that, with disciples I don't know. But then I remembered, I did not pay money to come to Phoenix to spend the time with disciples. I paid money to go and be with my friend because their mom just died. So I called him, I was like, bro, I can't come with you. I'm just going to have to sleep in the airport. And it takes an hour to get through security, and my plane left an hour after the booth opened, so I had to be there first in line, so I could not swerve from what I had to do. So, you know, we got to look at Jesus. As he was along that path leading to the cross, I'm pretty sure he wasn't thinking about the pain. He was thinking about each and every one of us in here.
Come on.
And how each and every one of us is going to have an opportunity to follow him one day. And you know, the pain is temporary, but he's going to be up with his Father in heaven. Which leads me to my last point.
Come on.
Arriving at the destination.
Come on, Robbie.
Come on, bro.
Come on.
Pick it back up in Luke 23. Luke 23, starting in verse 44. It says, it was now about the 6th hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the 9th hour. For the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, surely this was a righteous man. When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Jesus had reached his destination. He finally died on the cross. He reached his destination. Now, why is it so important understanding that you can't swerve from your destination in comparison with Jesus' journey to the cross? Why is this so important? Let's turn to Acts 13.
Come on.
Acts 13.
Come on, bro.
We're going to look at exactly why is completing your journey so important in Acts 13, 26. In Acts 23, or Acts 13, 26, it says, brothers, children of Abraham, and you God-fearing Gentiles, it is to us that this message of salvation has been sent. The people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus. Yet in condemning him, they fulfilled the words of the prophets that are read every Sabbath. Though they found no proper ground for death, for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him executed. When they had carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. And for many days he was seen by those who traveled with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now his witnesses to our people. We tell you the good news, what God promised our fathers, he has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus. As it is written in the second Psalm, you are my son, today I have become your father. The fact that God raised him from the dead, never to decay, is stated in these words. I will give you the holy and sure blessing promised to David. So it is stated elsewhere, you will not let your Holy One see decay. For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his fathers. All right. Now, if Jesus would have never completed his journey to the cross, salvation and forgiveness of sin would not be possible today. If Jesus would have answered the question differently before Pilate said, no, I'm not the Son, then we would not be able to be saved today. If he would have given up, quit, had an angel come and save him while bearing his cross, we would not be saved today. And if he would have saved himself from the cross, then salvation would simply not be possible today. So again, church, I have to ask you, what are you letting move you before you reach your destination? What are the things you're letting stop you with God, your walk with God? Guys, I gotta be honest, none of us will make it to heaven by compromising our faith for something temporary or giving up. No one in this planet will make it to heaven by compromising their faith. No one. In 1 John 2:6, it states, whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did.
Come on, bro. Come on.
What's getting in your way? Is it school? Maybe you haven't even started your journey with Christ yet. Maybe you haven't even decided to give your whole heart to Christ yet. But you've got to figure out what is stopping you. You know, Jesus, he was fatigued, but he didn't give up. He accepted help. He got help from a stranger named Simon. Guys, it's going to take each and every one of us here to help each other complete our journey to heaven.
Yep.
You guys have heard it takes a village to raise a child. Well, it takes a kingdom to raise a disciple.
Come on.
All right. Now, if you take the T from the journey, the S from a satisfying destination, or the A and arriving, I fumbled that up, you get TSA. If you make it past the worries of TSA in this life, you'll make it to heaven. Let nothing move you. Thank you, and God bless you.